As they watch the troop movements and the diplomatic war, Middle East historians like Janet Wallach are having bouts of deja vu.
Kut was the worst disaster that the British had militarily. And it's interesting that I think right now Saddam has sent some major forces to Kut. And I wondered if he didn't have that in the back of his mind.
Largely because of their downfall at Kut, it took the British 3 years to move from Basra to Baghdad. Upon arrival in the capital in 1917, General F.S. Maude reassured residents his was not a conquering force. He said his troops were there to free Iraqis from repressive Ottoman rule. "Your wealth has been stripped of you," he declared, telling them that under the British, the Arab race would flourish. It was nice rhetoric, but Boston University historian David Fromkin says the British didn't understand the Middle East as well as they thought they did.
The main thing to be learned from the British experience is, I suppose, an obvious one, but it is, for want of a better word, humility.
Fromkin says the British first tried to manipulate Muslim clerics. When that didn't work, they promoted a secular nationalism, not realizing, he says, that their very sponsorship rendered it inauthentic. The British also failed to heed a lesson from their predecessors, the Ottoman Turks. Fromkin says British intelligence officer T.E. Lawrence, the fabled Lawrence of Arabia, had sent home advice in one of his wartime dispatches.
And he said that Bedouin Arabs got together to rise up against local Turkish rule, what the Turks wisely would do is just disappear, just vanish. And when they weren't around, the tribesmen couldn't stick together. The enemy was gone, and so was their unity.
In the summer of 1920, Iraqis united in mass revolts against British occupation. The British responded with aerial bombardment. At one point, historian Charles Tripp says they sprayed crowds with phosphorus, a precursor to napalm. Thousands of Iraqis were killed, along with hundreds of British troops. Eventually, Tripp says Britain abandoned direct rule for a proxy. It brought King Faisal out of exile in London and staged a bogus referendum. Like the Turks, Britain ordained a minority Sunni class to rule a majority Shia and Kurd population.
In that sense, the British did create an Iraq in the image of an authoritarian colonial state, and in some respects, it still exists.
Janet Wallach says there were positive contributions. The British set up hospitals, clinics, and schools.
It was a whole social system that the British installed, and also, of course, just an infrastructure of government, which they set up in their civil administration, which, by the way, was a very costly affair for the British.
Parliament complained that the occupation was draining the budget. Charles Tripp says there were also turf wars and bureaucratic infighting over Mideast policy.
I think the British left Iraq in part because they realized they could get out of Iraq what they wanted without necessarily actually ruling Iraq. That is, they could have the concessions in the oil fields, they could have military bases, two major bases in Iraq, and they had an Iraqi government which, until 1958, was an ally of Great Britain.
In 1958, King Faisal was overthrown and dismembered in the streets in a bloody uprising by anti-Western nationalists. The Bush administration insists it won't stay in Iraq a day longer than needed to ensure democracy. But whatever promises Washington makes, Iraqis can be forgiven a certain skepticism. They have heard it all before. Jennifer Ludden, NPR News, Washington.